Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's just 9 minutes past the hour of nine. You are listening to the social program on Radio Islam International. My name is Habib Bobat, and inshallah I'll be keeping you company this morning right up till 10 a.m. Coming up on today's edition of the social program, we are discussing the Islamic perspective on distributing the estate, a very touchy subject. It's a very important matter to highlight for our people, because we find many people finding themselves in a situation where they are puzzled. What's happening? What's supposed to be done? What's actually been done? And you see there's problems rising in the family because of the estate not being distributed Islamically. So for this we have Mawlana Ibrahim Bam, the General Secretary of the Jamiatul Ulama. Mawlana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and assalamu alaikum to all the listeners.
Mawlana, how are you doing this morning?
Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been very kind upon us, and it is only the grace of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we survive. It is only the grace of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have the opportunity to be able to walk in the community amongst people, and that is also part and parcel of the grace of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us.
Mawlana, last week our SMS line was flooded with queries and also the WhatsApp number. Perhaps this morning we could look at some of those messages after the break and then go into the program, Mawlana.
Inshallah, that should also be the way. Or otherwise, if we can give just a small brief introduction, and then afterwards we look at it from that side, inshallah.
Inshallah. What can you expect in today's program, Mawlana?
Well, Mawlana, we see, as we said, that first of all we spoke about the importance of monetary affairs. And part of the monetary affairs which causes great amount of difficulty and disputes amongst people is the aspect of distribution of wealth. We looked at the aspect of the distribution of wealth when a person is alive, giving hiba, giving gifts, etc. What was the Islamic perspective about that? We had spoken about it at length, so I'm not going to repeat all of those aspects. Then we looked upon what happens when a person passes away. When a person passes away, what happens with his estate? What happens with his wealth that he has left behind? And that is what we are going to be doing today. Just last week we spoke about the moment a person passes away, his wealth which he has accumulated for such a great amount of time, which he had taken such great amount of effort to accumulate it and to gather it, that wealth which many a times he had broken relationships with people because of that wealth, the moment he passes away, it is no more his. He doesn't, from a Shari point of view, even have the authority to deal with it the way he wants. He's only allowed one third where he has some options where it must go, and that also, that those options are limited. And the first thing that happens is that it is permissible to take the burial expenses from his wealth. Many times in our community, burial expenses is paid by some close family members, but it can be taken from the estate. It can be taken from the deceased wealth. Thereafter, what happens? Inshallah, we will be dealing with it after the break and after the adverts.
Jazakumullah khair, and stay tuned to Radio Islam International. The SMS line for the program, 48855, that's 48855. Alternatively, you could WhatsApp on the studio number 0727861548, or Mawlana Bam's side on 0837862859. Yes, it is the social program with Mawlana Ibrahim Bam. Mawlana, we can start off the program.
Yes, Mawlana, after making mention that after a person has passed on, also it reminds you of the hadith of our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that a person throughout his life says, my wealth, my wealth, my wealth. But in reality, what is his wealth? His wealth is that which he has utilized, which he has used for his own benefit. His wealth is that which he has deposited in the bank of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by using it for good causes. Otherwise, whatever he has left behind, his great fortune that he has amassed and he has left behind, that will go to the heirs. And that actually is the situation when you see it from the Shari point of view. When a person passes away, the moment he passes away, everything now goes to the heirs. He doesn't even have the right to determine who it must go to. And that is the reason why the ulama, I give the example of Umar bin Abdulaziz rahmatullah alayh, he was sitting by the bedside of a person who was in the last stages of his life. The moment he passed on, he put off his lamp or his candle or whatever it was. He asked for his own personal lamp, and people asked him, why did you do so? He said, that does not belong to him anymore.
Mm.
And they could be young children whose rights are upon that oil which is keeping the lamp burning. And I cannot use it until I get the permission of everyone. And I made mention last week towards the end, many a times people use the deceased money to give dawahs and to give and feed the people who have come. To feed the people who have come is not a shari compulsion. It's no compulsion. You cannot use the deceased money unless every heir agrees upon it. Otherwise, it cannot be used.
Hmm.
Now, these aspects are sometimes people don't realize the consequences of it. But, however, therefore, especially when there are small children involved, one has to be extremely, extremely careful on how you utilize the wealth of the deceased. To take the wealth of the deceased and give people who have come to visit and to feed them, not permissible, unless everyone agrees. So these aspects have to be taken into account. Firstly, the burial expenses can be taken out of the deceased estate. From his, it is his right, it is his burial. So you can use his wealth to pay, for example, the kafan, the grave fees, and the grave fees, etc. is not something that might be from the Sharia, but it is a legitimate expense. And in today's time, it is counted upon as something that you have to pay for to be able to get your grave or to be able to get access to a kabristan or to a cemetery. So that can be taken out from the deceased estate. Thereafter, the next thing is the debts, thereafter the wasiyat, and thereafter the inheritance distribution. So why can we go step by step, or do you want to know after? Do you want to go and look at some of the SMSs that have come?
Amuna, we'll look at each of the steps that you mentioned, and then inshallah later on we can... I'm sure by covering these aspects, we will be touching on the SMSs automatically, Amuna.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of messages that are also coming through here also, and maybe if someone wants to call also, they can do so. The next aspect is that of debt. Now, before anyone gets anything, the debt of the deceased must be paid off first.
Hmm.
If, for example, the debts cover the entire estate of the deceased, no one will get anything. Chutti, khalas. Now, it can happen that way. And now the thing is, maybe we need to have some sort of discussion around this one. Let me just sort of understand, people must understand why is it like that. Today we know that we are in the grip of what is known as consumerism. I always, you know, look at the irony of it. Even when a person has overindulged, right? Even when a person has overindulged, he has to take something else as a cure for that overindulgence. So he'll take a Reni, or he'll take maybe a Eno fruit salt. Eno used to be very, very popular. See, now it's not as popular as it used to be earlier. But that's a reality. Consumerism is such a thing. You take something after you have overindulged, you know. So a person went to a dawat and he found the food was excellent, especially that there was a kebab that everyone, he liked it too much and he overindulged. So after, when he came back home, he told the family that I'm, you know, so full, I'm stuffed and I've eaten so much, I don't know, I'm very uncomfortable. So the wife must have said that take an Eno or take a Reni. So he replied and said, well, if there was any place left in the stomach, I would have one more kebab instead of having a Reni. Our aspect with regard to consumerism has become like that. It seems that we are powerless to fight the disease of consumerism.
Mm.
Items, goods, merchandise, which were once considered luxury items, have now become indispensable. I mean, a phone is not really, look at it, it's not, your life is not dependent upon it. But today, the situation is everyone regards it to be a necessity.
Mm.
The more people have something, the greater the pressure for those who do not have it to get the same. Consumerism is an amazing thing. I was reading Maa Khalid Saifullah Rahmani Maddazilluhu Al-Ali's article on extravagance. So he said, those people who say that my expenses doesn't impact upon anyone, so let me spend how I want, they are wrong. Because every time you spend, you create a certain bar. You created a certain criteria. So people have a certain way of doing a wedding. All of a sudden, a person comes and does a wedding in another style. Now, he can say, it's my money, I can do whatever I want with it. First of all, it's not your money. It's you are trustee of the wealth. It's not, you are not the sole owner. Allah has given it to you to utilize it correctly. Allah has made you a trustee. But even if you say it doesn't impact upon it, it does impact, because you have now created a next barrier, a next criteria. So now, actually, the next person comes, he wants to either compete with you or becomes better than you. So whoever feels extravagant doesn't impact upon the community has to think twice. So all of a sudden, all of this happens. Social pressure, family pressure, everyone in the neighborhood has it, so we should also have it. Egged on by relentless and persuasive advertising, coupled with our own insatiable appetite and desire, all have almost, it seems, robbed us of our desire to say no to things. So now we must have it. So if we have to have it, what do? We have to go out and borrow money. But we don't realize that those particular aspects have repercussion. We have certain repercussion and consequences. One is that when things, whether it be the luxuries, whether extravagance, whether it be the false exposition of wealth, whether it be realities of life, cannot be fulfilled from our own income, we are compelled to borrow from others. Overspending, living beyond one's means, and a lavish lifestyle are the primary causes which lead to the running up of debt. Now, the taking of debt, unless it is for necessary reasons, has been discouraged by our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Asking from others is a disgrace and a humiliation, no matter how worthy your cause. And ask those people who go out for collection, sometimes it is not a pleasant task. Ask those who are engaged in fundraising actions, although they have bona fide reasons to do so, they find it difficult. Can you imagine when you go for your own personal reasons, and a person tells you that, you know, you are not worthy, or he starts commenting with regard to it. So I think one has to be very, very careful in running up debts. Because in the words of Luqman Hakim, debt is a worry at night and a humiliation by the day. A more truer expression you will not find in a hurry. You know, debt is a worry at night and a humiliation in the day. Ask those who are in debt how many sleepless nights they have spent and how many times they have suffered the disgrace of being told a mouthful of choice words by the people during the course of the day when they have not been able to pay on time or they have delayed in the payment. Therefore, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam frequently used to make dua, اللهم إني أعوذ بك من غلبة الدين وقهر الرجال ونعوذ بك من المعثم والمغرم. Oh Allah, I seek your protection from being overwhelmed by debt. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to make dua to Almighty Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, in which he used to seek protection from Allah from death and debt. Two words that sound similar in the English language, death and debt. So Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha was amazing. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, immediately something she saw, she used to ask Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That is the reason why Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got married to her at a young age. Said because of her intellect and because of her grasping of issues, because of her great amount of intelligence, she used to see things that normally people didn't see, and she used to ask. That is why a substantial percentage of our deen we got from Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. She is the fourth largest transmitter of sayings of our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Right? After Abu Huraira, Abdullah ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Abbas, it is Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha who has related 2,210 ahadith from Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So one day Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was making dua, oh Allah, I seek your protection from death and debt. So then Aisha said, Ya Rasulullah, you are combining these two things in one. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, yes, Hazrat Aisha, I am combining these two things in one. The reason is, when a person falls into debt, he becomes morally vulnerable.
Subhanallah.
When he makes a promise, he breaks the promise. When he speaks lies. Now, ask the people who are in business, they will tell you how many times they will tell the creditor, the person whom they have taken the loan from, the check is in the post, when he has not even posted it out, he hasn't even made it out, that I am going to do the EFT today, and he doesn't do the EFT. Or he says that yesterday I tried to get onto the system, but the bank system was down, and I couldn't do on the EFT when it wasn't like that. And he conveniently forgets to append the required second signature, which makes the checks redundant. Or he post-dates a check when a current date the check has been agreed upon. These are all common occurrences in the business world, which gives credence to what Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that when a person is in debt, he becomes morally vulnerable. When he speaks lies. When he makes a promise, he breaks his promise.
Interestingly, well, it's a very important point you highlight, that the expenses that we incur whilst we are alive sometimes cripples the people after us. You find people have open up accounts all over Edgar's, Jet, Woolworths, all over the show. You see, they've got accounts open, and they're buying things which they can't afford, thinking they'll pay it off. And then you find people taking out buying expensive cars or pricey cars, again buying it out on credit, house, home loans and home loans and all these things, contracts and all these things, so that when the person passes away, it creates a very big hole for the people to fill, and sometimes the people who are left behind are not well off, and it creates a big problem for the family.
Very big problem. And that is why today they said, sometimes we take loans for, Allah knows, they say today people, we buy things we don't need, with money we don't have, to impress people we don't know, sometimes we don't like, but we still want to impress them. That's the reality with regard to our world today.
Subhanallah. The lines are open, 011-854-1548. That's 011-854-1548. Alternatively, 07222-18384. Manon, there's a message coming through. It reads, Assalamu alaikum. I just want to know if a person gives his estate to only one of his children but makes it clear to everyone in his will before he passes away, is that permissible?
Just repeat that again.
I just wanted to know if a person gives his estate to only one of his children but makes it clear to everyone in his will before he passes away, is that permissible?
If he gives it only to one and he makes it clear in his will that he's only giving it to one.
Yeah, in the will.
No, from the legally he might get away with it. From the Sharia point of view, it is not going to be permissible.
Interesting indeed. Moving on, Mulana, there's another message that reads, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Could Mulana kindly repeat the procedure of the Islamic estate again, please?
Well, the first thing would be the burial expenses, thereafter the debts, thereafter wasiyat if he has made. Wasiyat is only applicable to one third of his wealth. He can't make wasiyat for more than one third. He can't make wasiyat for his close family members, his children, his spouse, and his parents. They would not be able to get, and they will not be able to be part and parcel of the wasiyat, right? The bequeath. The bequeath must be beyond heirs. For example, you can make one third of your wealth to go for charitable causes, and the other aspect with regard to the one third of the wealth is he can make it out to people who have been his well wishers, who are not his heirs. So he can make it up to one third. Thereafter, the inheritance, whatever is left of the estate, what we'll call the residue, that would be given out to the family members in accordance with the stipulation and determination of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Well, this message also came last week with regards to people using the estate money to give charity to madrasas. Please comment.
This is repeated again?
Last week this message also came up, Marana, that the question is asking that people use the estate money to give charitable donations to madrasas without the other heirs' permission.
It's not permissible if the way the question is posed, if they do so without the permission of the other heirs, then it will not be permissible. If the other heirs agree, it will be permissible, or if in another way of doing it is, the person gives it, it only comes from his share. If he wants to give charity, then he must give from his share, doesn't give from everyone else's share.
The lines are open, 011-854-1548. Just quickly to run through that process again, tajheez and takfeen, that is the burial expenses. However, you cannot feed people without prior consent from the other heirs. The second thing is to pay off the debts. Number three is wasiyat. and number four is the distribution of the estate. Malawi, we can continue.
Yes, my therefore, people have to be very careful. There is one or two things. My father left his house in his will to my sister. The brothers did not get anything. You see, the thing is that if a person wants to give someone something, then he has to give it in his lifetime. Then he must bear the consequences of his decision. He must bear the decision, this is what I want to give. He can't give and he can't control from the qabr. And that is something that people are trying to do. In reality, giving someone something after you have passed away and say this must go to someone like that, is trying to control your estate from the qabr, which is not permissible.
Yes, the lines are open. Do we have a caller? Okay, Mulana, we can continue.
Correct. Now, therefore, because of its great consequences, one must be very thrifty in his matter. Ma'ala manik tasid, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, he who is thrifty in his financial matters, poverty will not overtake him. So this is the aspect with regard to the aspect of not getting into debt, because debt has severe repercussions. Just to give you an example with regard to the importance of debt and therefore their debt, maybe it is correct to say death and debt together. Person who takes loans must always bear in mind that he must not do it with the intention of doing down the person whom he has taken loans from. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in the hadith, Man akhadha amwal an-nas yuridu adaiha, whoever takes the wealth of people as a debt, intending to pay it back, Allah Ta'ala will make the means of payment. But whoever takes the money of people intending not to give it and to waste it, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will destroy that wealth and his own wealth also. Therefore, a person should hasten towards the payment and the fulfilling of his debt without harassing the creditor, the one whom he has taken loan from, with the inconvenience of continued reminders of payments. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the unjust delay of a person who can pay is an oppression. So you, a person comes and tells you that, no, you're owing me, you're supposed to give me on this day, and you don't do it, then it is zulm. It is an oppression. It's an act of guna and sin, that you have the means that you don't pay it. And, of course, we must bear in mind the severity with regard to it. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Nafsul mu'min mu'allaqatun bid-dain. The nafs and the soul of a person is tied up towards his debt until he does not pay it. Right? Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Yaghfiru lish-shahid kulla dhanb illa ad-dain. Even the person who sacrifices his life in the path of Allah, Allah will forgive all his sins except debt. That will be said, no, you have to still pay. One day a person came to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, if I go out in the path of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, I sacrifice my wealth and sacrifice my everything, then will I be forgiven? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, yes. But as he was going away, Jibreel Alayhi Salatu Wasallam came down with a wahi, and Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told the Sahaba, summon him, tell him to come back, come back, come back. When he came back, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the Jibreel Alayhi Salatu Wasallam had come to tell me, all your sins will be forgiven except it. And then, of course, there was another incident that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam refused to perform the janazah salat of a person when he has debt and had not made provision in his wealth to pay off the debts.
Mulana,
did not this.
If you allow, we've got a caller online.
Yes, sure.
Okay, Sister Zaybun, Assalamu Alaikum wa Rahmatullah.
Hi, Mulana.
Alhamdulillah.
And how are you, Mulana Baham, and your family?
Alhamdulillah.
And Allah Pak keep you all well and happy.
Jazakallah
for the beautiful program, Mulana Baham. I'd just like to ask you one question. Can I give my nieces zakat and shadqa money?
Yes, you can do.
Oh, I can give them.
Yeah, but now zakat, you have to be very careful if they are in that particular, if their liabilities are more than their assets.
Oh, they are all widows, the Mulana. They have no income.
You must ask Mufti to advise you with regard to it. But the masla is you can do so.
Inshallah.
Okay, Appa.
Allah bless you all, reward you all, Mulana, for the great people are doing in Radio Islam. Inshallah, award you here in the year after all of this. And the team of Radio Islam doing Allah Pak. Radio Islam will be from strength to strength. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Allah barakatuh. We've got another call online. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum. Okay, you can call us back 011-854-1548. Well, another important matter that I think we can comment on is that when we do incur debts, at least our partners or somebody in our family should be aware of our financial dealings and who we owe or who owes us. Because after the person passes away, sometimes people come with big, big amounts and listen, your father owed me 20,000 rand, and you say, hey, but who are you? Where did you come out from? We don't have any knowledge about this dealing. It can create some sort of discord when there is no record or nobody that has knowledge about these things.
It's important. Therefore, Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran has told, Ya ayyuhallatheena idha tadayantum bidaynin ila ajalin musamman faktubuh. When you take a loan, have a record of it. And in fact, not only have a record, have two witnesses to it. I mean, that is a Quranic injunction. And many a times people regard namaz, salat, zakat, deen as part of deen, but they don't realize that these aspects are also part of deen.
It's extremely important that we keep note of all these things. The lines are open, 011-854-1548. We go for a commercial break. When we return, inshallah, we'll continue with the program. Well, speaking about letting the family know of your affairs, it's important. Many of our parents do have properties in India, and the children aren't aware of it. Only when they pass away, then the mother says, you know, your father also had property in India, and now it's a big story. And sometimes the mother also is not aware of it. So it's important that we clarify this matter. That's one issue. The other issue, Mulana, is that sometimes the father has two wives, and to everybody, in their knowledge, there's only one wife. Even the first wife is not aware that the father has a second wife. So I think it becomes problematic because the second wife also has a right to inherit from the marhum, Mulana. Mulana, pa?
Liz, hello.
Jimana.
These are very important things for us to discuss and to be able to write and note down is something which the Quran has given us clear-cut command about it. And if we don't do so, it has a repercussion and implication upon other people. It has implication upon the rights of other people. Even with regard to the debt, if people don't know about it, then afterwards if it comes to be known, then it becomes a problem. There is this type of norm that has come into our community, which is a good thing. There's nothing wrong with it. But people must be able to bear the consequences then. For example, to make the announcement after janazah that if there is the deceased has left behind any debt, come and collect it from the children or to collect it from so-and-so, it's a very good thing because what it does is that inshallah, if there is any debt and someone is... there is some debt due on the deceased, and you go and collect it, it will make it easier for the deceased in his next stage of his life. But then there's also consequences, and people must be able to bear that particular type of responsibility if someone comes up and said, Marhum, oh Marhuma, I had taken so much money from me.
Let's go to the lines.
People must now take advantage of it and just come and make fictitious loans with regard to it. In today's time, anything can happen.
Let's go to the lines. We've got a few callers. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Walaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ji, brother.
Well, I got two questions. Last week I apparently asked the one question, and today I got two very similar to the very same instant. Well, the first one is, that does an uncle have a right to a distribution on his brother's estate to his children on Sharia? And the second one is, there is no will in a home between both parents, between mother and father, are grandchildren are entitled for heirs or not?
Jazakumullah, brother.
Jazakumullah.
Okay. Murad, two questions. The first one is, can the uncle take charge of the estate in distributing? And the second one...
Well, the uncle can take charge only if the deceased has made him the executor. So if the marhum has made him the executor, then he's got the right to do it. I mentioned last week that a person who is an executor has tremendous amount of responsibilities to this extent that he has the responsibility even of changing the will according to the Sharia. If the deceased has made Sharia, a will that is against the Sharia. Whether he can do so legally is a different matter. You must go and ask the lawyers. But from a Sharia point of view, the executor, the executor, he's got the right to be able to change it. So if he has been appointed the executor, yes, he's got the right to take the chance of the distribution. If he hasn't, then whoever has been appointed the executor must do so. Otherwise, the people who are going to be the close family members, they must get together and they must do the distribution.
Mm. Okay, Murad, before you answer the second question, let's go to our callers. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, sister.
Assalamu alaikum, Manana.
Ji, assalam.
Manana, I just want you to comment on the harms of depriving an orphan child of his rightful inheritance, of his rightful share. And number two, I just want to know if you've given a house, to an orphanage or to a hostel or to a madrasa, do you have to give it completely in your lifetime or can you leave it in your wasiyat after your death?
Okay,
good question. Jazakumullah for that.
Well, okay, are you taking a note of the question, so must you just answer it now at the callers?
Let's start over at grandchildren one, then we know that one is out.
This is a very sensitive one, and I think it's something that everyone must take into account. If there is a death in the family, right, there's a natural type of sympathy and compassion that comes upon the small children, the siblings.
Mm.
Right? Many a times a person has three or four children. I'm just giving an example. Allah doesn't happen to anyone. We must never be able to see the difficulty of our children. If a person has three or four children, right, and one of them passes away, right, and thereafter what actually happens is that person leaves behind siblings and children. Now, afterwards the father passes away. Now, if the child has predeceased the father, if the child has predeceased the father, then the grandchildren will not inherit from the grandfather's estate. Now, the person who, after his son or whatever child has passed away, he must start realizing. I mean, you can't try and rectify things after the death. Why don't you rectify it at the time when this thing happens?
Mm.
So that time, what is supposed to be done is that immediately, this is a place where you make wasiyat. This is a place where you make wasiyat. So wasiyat must be done that in something happens to me, my grandchildren will get so much. So then they will otherwise automatically they don't inherit. And if there are enough children and there are spouses, then the grandchild is excluded. Thereafter, then for the people to start making a noise and saying that you are not compassionate, then the deceased is not compassionate. But you can't follow the Sharia if you have not been able to take into account things in your lifetime. That you can't blame the Sharia then with regard to it. The second question with regard to giving a house to the orphanage, etc. If it is given in one's life and everything is transferred over to the orphanage or to the aspect of whoever you have given it to, then there will be no problem. If it is given after you have passed away, then there are certain conditions. One condition is it must be within one-third.
Mm.
If that house is less than one-third, it will be implemented. If it is more than one-third, it won't be implemented. So thereafter, the heirs got the right to cancel it or to allow it to go. So if the house, for example, the entire estate is 1 million rand, and the house is 700,000 rand, which you have given to an orphanage, then the heirs will get together and they can say, no, we don't want to give it, we want our share. And if they insist upon their share, they'll be doing no sin whatsoever. It is their right. If they say that, listen, our parents has left it, Allah has given us, give it to the orphanage. So if it's after a person has passed away, it must be within one-third. The other aspect of being very, very careful with regard to the rights of the orphan. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا مَالَ الْيَتِيمِ إِلَّا بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. Do not come near the wealth of an orphan except to rectify it in a way that is good. So if you do something to take away the rights of the orphan, it is one of the akbarul kabair. It is one of the major sins in Islam.
Hmm. Yes, and the Quran has also addressed this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ الْيَتَامَى ظُلْمًا إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا وَسَيَصْلَوْنَ سَعِيرًا. Those who wrongfully usurped the wealth of the orphans, Allah says they are actually filling their bellies with the fire of Jahannam, and they will enter Jahannam when they go to the year after. So Allah protect us all. We might get away with it here in this world, but in the year after, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make us account for it.
Definitely.
Well, there's a message coming here, a very interesting one. It says, Assalamu alaikum, we would like to know if a woman who doesn't get married and doesn't have her own children, but brought up her sister's daughter from 2 or 3 years old. The child is fully aware of who her parents are. If the lady that brought the child up passes away, does that child inherit from her as an heir?
Not automatically. Depends on many circumstances. You see, many people have asked questions with, I got 3 sisters, I got 2 sisters, I got 1 brother, 2 brothers. Now, those type of, those are very personal questions. I can't answer it on a general program, which is to educate people on the general aspect of Sharia. Those aspects, I got 2 brothers, and I got 1 son, and I got this one. Those aspects, people must ask the individual muftis with regard to the individual circumstances. However, those aspects which are general, yes, that we will try to speak on. But in this instance, no, they don't automatically inherit. It depends on a whole aspect of factors with regard to it. And normally, the nephews and nieces are not automatic heirs. There are only 3 people who are automatic heirs who will always inherit. All others will depend upon circumstances. The children, the spouse, and the parents. They will automatically inherit in every given situation. All others, brothers, sisters, nephews, nieces, depends on a whole host of factors. How many children there are they children? Are they male children? Are they female children? That will depend upon that.
Murad, coming back to the issue of the second wife, somebody also alluding in the SMS, kindly clarify that matter.
Well, it's very clear. I mean, yesterday someone asked me a question to say that with regard to a person has 2 wives, how will they distribute his estate? Then his estate would be distributed, that the share that is normally associated with the wife. For example, if there are children, the wife gets one-eighth. If there are no children, the wife gets 1/4. Now, if there are 2 wives, then in the case of having children, the 2 wives will share 1/8. And whereas if there is no children, then the 2 wives will share 1/4. So it has tremendous repercussions.
I think it's important for the family to understand it, because many times they're deprived. Like, for example, if the father got married, not the second wife, not a polygamous marriage I'm talking about, a monogamous marriage, but the first partner is passed on. The father remarries, but that marriage is very, very young. Maybe in a couple of months or even within a few years, the husband passes away. Now, the family refuses to give inheritance to the second wife. They say, no, you're not part of the family. I think they are doing a great wrong again, Manala.
They are doing a great wrong.
Yes, Manala, we've highlighted the aspect of the tajheez and takfeen, that is the burial expenses. We've highlighted the debts also.
Yeah, there's many aspects with regard to the debt, but I don't want to confuse it. What are the etiquettes with regard to the creditor, how he must deal with it? What are the etiquettes with regard to the debtor? That is something that, inshallah, one day we will do. Yeah, I don't want to go too much into it, other than to say that debt is such a serious thing that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't even perform the janazah of a person who has passed away without making arrangement for the provision and payment of his debt.
Allah.
يَغْفِرُ لِلشَّهِدِ كُلَّ ذَمْءٍ إِلَّا الدَّيْنِ. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has said, the shaheed, every sin of his is wiped away except debt. So these are important matters. Because of that, before anything happens, first the debt must be paid out. If after the payment of the debt, whatever is now left over, now thereafter it is distributed. And the first thing with regard to the distribution after that, so first burial expenses, then debt, then the third thing is wasiyat. Bear in mind that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said it is not permissible for a believer to remain 2 nights without having a will prepared. Now this, I'm telling you, how many times, you know, when I gave this talk in Newtown Masjid some time back, I gave it over 3 Jumas, I asked the people, I don't want to embarrass people, but just take a survey, how many people have got their wills prepared? Very few will have.
Allah.
But yet Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, it is not permissible, it is not correct for a person to allow 2 nights to go by without having his will prepared.
Subhanallah.
And there are so many things that you have to put in your will. You can change your will. Many people ask this question, you can change your will. But then you have to have a will to be able to change it. If you haven't have a will in the very first instance, what are you going to change?
Yeah. Interesting. Amara, just one query, maybe we can take this very quickly. It says, Assalamu alaikum, I want to know, is it allowed to keep your mother's share when my father passes away and give her when only when she needs it? I find it a bit ironical, but let's address it
now. No, she must, you know, this particular aspect of someone taking care and saying, I'll give her when she needs it, according to it, is not the right thing. Well, the right thing is, you give it to people and say, listen, this is yours. Right? After that, if you want to give anything beyond that, that is your, you also the son, or you also can give whatever is worth. But what is theirs must be put aside and given to them. What they want to do with it, what they don't want to do with it, it's theirs. It is theirs. You can't take control of another person's money. The only thing you can do is you can advise. In the Sharia, even you can't even, you can advise your wife with regard to her money. You can't take it from her. And similarly, vice versa.
Amazing. Well, we've got 5 minutes. I don't know if you want to run through the last two processes or...
No, I think we'll have to do one more program, inshallah. But I think, you see, there's a very important point with regard to wasiyat, Moana, which many times people do not understand this particular aspect. What happens if a person has not performed his hajj and he makes... Now, this is such an important point to realize what is the situation of a believer. If a person says, I have not performed hajj, and I make wasiyah that my hajj must be performed. Now, therefore, it is so important that if you want to do something, you must do it in your lifetime. Because if you make wasiyah with regard to your hajj and that wasiyah is only implementable within one third. So if, for example, that particular wasiyah and that hajj goes beyond that, then the rights of human beings will take precedence over the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, that is very important. Unlike debt, if for example you make wasiyah that I'm owing someone so much money, that will be implementable even beyond one third.
Right.
But in hukukullah, it will only be implementable within one third. That's why it's so important for us to get our financial matters correct. And if you want to make your hajj, for example, and you haven't been, you become old and you yourself can't do it, by it, you take your money and you get someone to do it while you are alive. After you pass away, the heirs, do it, don't do it. It is their responsibility, and many times they will give precedence to their own right rather than making your hajj.
Mara, the question is, where do we obtain these wills? Do we have a prepaid one, Mara?
Yes, we have a prepared one. The Jamiatul Ulama has a prepared will, which alhamdulillah is there, which is not even at a very great cost. It's about a 50 rand will. Now, thereafter, once you have done it, you take it and you study it correctly. And after studying it correctly, inshallah, maybe what we can do in the next program, I will take that will and just run through what are the major aspects with regard to that will.
MashaAllah, very intense, MashaAllah.
No, not true. No,
it's good, Marana. We must conscientize this important aspect of our deen, and it shouldn't be left in the dark. It's very important, Marana.
And therefore, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, wait, don't. You know, there is a hadith of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that ayyu sadaqati a'zam, which sadaqah is the most beautiful and the most rewarding. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, anta sadaqa wa anta sahihun shahihun. That you give sadaqah when you are healthy, you fear poverty, you have expectations of wealth, that's the time to give sadaqah and charity. And do not wait, and then wait till the last moments of your life. Now the way people say is that your one foot is in the qabr, and the other foot is on the banana peel going into the cover. Then you say, li fulan kada, give the jamiat so much. I'm saying jamiat, eh? Give the jamiat so much, give the swan so much, give the darul uluk so much, give the masjid so much. But I'm not saying you're not going to get guna, but that is now the last moment you thought of it is an afterthought. But if you want to give sadaqah, give it to it when you are alive. Don't now wait for it and give, you know, one third must go to this. That means you want to give, but you also want to enjoy. And you said, after I pass away, one third must go. That is also rewarding. I mean, see, we mustn't, undermine any good deed. But at the end of the day, what did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say? Ayyu sadaqati azam anta saddaqa wa anta sahihun shahihun taqshal fak wa ta'amalu al-ghira wa la tumil hatta idha balagat al-hulqum wa qultu li fulanin kada li fulanin kada li fulanin kada. Don't wait till that particular last moment. Give when you are also in need of wealth, you also have desire for wealth. There's a time to give sadaqa. It's the best type of wa anfiqum ma razaqnakum min qabli an ya'tiya ahadakum al-maut. Give and spend before a time comes, that the time of death comes. فَيَقُولَ رَبِّ لَوْلَا أَخْرْتَنِي إِلَىٰ أَجْرٍ قَرِيبٍ. Then a person says, oh Allah, give me more time for صَدَّقَ وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الصَّالِينَ, that I can give sadaqa and I will become among the pious people. وَلَا يُؤَخِّرُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا, that the time is not going to be delayed, your mort is not going to be delayed. So very important point is, we have to get our priorities right. We have to get our financial matters right. And we have to be able to take decisions. If, for example, we feel strongly that someone must get something, our grandchildren, my child has predeceased me, the grandchildren, you feel compassion for them, then give it to them while you are alive.
Mm.
Or make wasiyat for them. Don't leave it aside in such a way that thereafter you have a problem, then after it will become very difficult.
Indeed, Marana, we've got about 30 seconds. Just allow me to recap today's program. So I think it's important for people to just get the gist of what we are talking about. We discussed the four procedures that we have to carry out when a person passes away. The first one is tajheez and takfeen, which is the burial. The cost and the expenses can be taken from the estate. However, we must be clear on the point that we cannot feed people without taking prior consent from the other heirs. If we can do so or not. The second thing we spoke about was paying of debts, and Maulana made it very important, abundantly clear, that we shouldn't incur such debts that it makes it difficult for people after us to continue paying off those debts. And the third thing we discussed this morning, which we never really delved into, was wasiyat. And inshallah, we'll pick up from here next week, Maulana.
Inshallah, Aziz.
Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.